Ces melons, ces poires, tous ces bons fromages, ces épices, goûtez-les, ces fraises, ces bananes et ce chocolat, ces caprices, goûtez-les, au pays mystérieux de Malidor. Quand il n'y en a plus, il y en a encore.
Good morning and welcome to Your Homegrown Food. I'm your host, Wander Fox, and you are listening to FRSC 101.1 FM and freakradio.org on the internet. For the next half hour, I will be talking about food. Your Homegrown Food is a show all about the alternative food movement, which is a movement that includes people and organizations working to make our food system healthier for our environment, more socially just, and better for eaters' health. So today I was thinking to talk about something I mentioned on last week's show, food deserts. It's a topic that Michelle Obama brought up in her Let's Move campaign. It's something that a lot of people are talking about these days because food has been in the news a lot. Food deserts are places where people do not have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. They don't have access for financial reasons or for physical reasons. They often tend to be in urban areas where people are low income or sometimes in minority communities, oftentimes. And even though they're mostly in urban areas, they can also be in rural areas. I heard a story about a rural community that had one grocery store that closed, and the next closest grocery store was 80 miles away. So, although they tend to be in urban areas, they can also be in rural areas too. So there are many people and organizations that are creating access to healthy food, or trying to, for a lot of people, or more people who live in these food deserts. So according to the Community Food Security Coalition, community food security is a condition in which all community residents obtain a safe, culturally accessible, nutritionally adequate diet through a sustainable food system that maximizes community self-reliance and social justice. So food security is a big issue, is a big thing that hopefully can combat the issue of food deserts. So I was thinking to talk about some people who are working on the issue of food deserts. A very famous example is Will Allen, who is, what's he doing? Oh, he has a farm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is called Growing Power. And I have a little article here about Will Allen, and I wanted to read from it. Let's see. Allen pioneered Growing Power with a small acreage in northern Milwaukee 17 years ago, determined to create a more just food system. It's now one of the most successful and studied urban farms in the country, using sustainable methods to grow food that nourishes locally and inspires globally. 10,000 Great Lake perch or tilapia flash around in aquaculture runs, sprouts and greens growing in a mix of worm castings and core fiber are stacked and hung, fed and watered by the waste from the fish runs. Even Growing Power's compost has more than one job. It's soil and fertilizer, and it provides health for the greenhouses and water. These greenhouses are at the heart of a multi-location system that produces enough food for more than 10,000 people annually. Another cool thing that he does is he collects kitchen scraps and leftover food from produce companies, and he composts them on his farm in Milwaukee. So he is doing a really good thing for the community there. I know he employs a lot of local people, and they have a farm stand at his farm where people can buy produce and sounds like tilapia, which is really cool. Because I think in that neighborhood in Milwaukee, there's not a lot of other healthy food there. So that's really cool what he's doing. Then I found this story, on the internet. It's a news story from the BBC, and it's it's self-explanatory. Here, I'll play it, and you can find out what this guy is doing.
He's loading up his micro farmer's market in a vehicle that's gone from school bus to church bus to the store that comes to your corner. On the road in Richmond, Virginia, he targets the city's food deserts, run-down neighborhoods that offer fast food, not fresh produce.
They're addicted to the bad food. And first you got to wean them off that before you can start feeding them the good stuff.
First stop, the car park of an abandoned supermarket.
This spaghetti squad, this goes a long way. This will feed a lot of people.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you how to cook it.
Okay. I had went to the store to make market, and the fruit was terrible. So I was like, I got to get some fruit for my kids, you know? So I'm loving it. I'm going to come back.
Come inside. Check it out. Okay. We take cash check or EBT.
EBT means food stamps, now helping to feed 1 in 8 Americans. Taking them helps Mark to get customers in an economy where fresh food isn't always the cheapest option.
It's all choice. Some stuff in here might be higher than what people can pay, but, you know, they have to eliminate something else.
Like?
You know, like cigarettes or lottery tickets or, you know, candy. We got about 900 fans.
Mark's also relying on regulars who'll drive for miles to drop by as he sends out up-to-the-minute postings on websites like Facebook and Twitter.
It's amazing. It's just, what a better way to get customers to come.
It's an all-round experience as he gives out advice, talks about health, focusing, like America's First Lady, on the basics of family nutrition. But can that kind of eating ever become the American way of life?
Believe me, I'm not at a point where...
Back in Washington, we met a group of people passionate about local, organic and sustainable food production. They're part of what's being called the slow food movement. Their president was fresh from a meeting at the White House.
We have an incredible opportunity with the Obama administration. They are behind our issues.
They believe this fast food nation is ready for change.
I think it's time for the sustainable food movement to really get ready for prime time. Food and farming are at the core of every crisis we face. They're a cause and a solution to climate change, to the healthcare crisis, to the economic crisis, to our crisis in public education.
And that's why today's focus is on children, both at the White House and back at the drop-in center, where Mark supplies the food for children's cooking classes. The next step here will be teaching the adults to cook. The next step for Mark will be getting more buses on the road. Philippa Thomas, BBC News, in Richmond, Virginia.
Very cool. I hope we see a lot more stories like this. Another example of a group of people doing something about food deserts or the lack of healthy food in a urban community that is low income and I think is also very ethnically diverse is West Oakland, I believe. Or no, East Oakland, I think it is. There's a group called People's Grocery. They have a website, peoplesgrocery.org, where if you'd like to get more information about them, you can check that out. And they have sort of a mission statement on their website. People's Grocery is a community-based organization in West Oakland that develops creative solutions to the health problems in our community that stem from a lack of access to and knowledge about healthy, fresh foods. Our mission is to build a local food system that improves the health and economy of the West Oakland community. We want to change the way the food system works. We believe everyone should have access to healthy food, regardless of income. We call this food justice, the belief that healthy food is a human right. The food system is failing to provide low-income people with the healthy foods they need to thrive. It is also failing to create good jobs and support local food businesses in urban communities. So People's Grocery works towards creating a food system that centralizes the needs of the urban poor and develop programs and enterprises that produce and distribute fresh foods, provide nutrition education, promote urban agriculture, and create local jobs. So this sounds like a really neat group of people, and I really like what they're doing. It sounds like they have a farm somewhere near Oakland, I'm not sure exactly where, somewhere up in the Bay Area, I believe, where they grow a whole bunch of produce and they bring it to their West Oakland location and they sell it there. And they, I guess you can, sort of like a CSA maybe, they provide something called grub boxes, and the people in the neighborhood can go pick up their grub boxes or have them delivered to their house or business. So they are really working hard at bringing produce to this West Oakland area, where I think a lot of people agree that it's considered a food desert. They have something like, 100 convenience stores or liquor stores. But they don't have any grocery stores, and they don't have any restaurants other than fast food, as far as I know. So People's Grocery is really doing a good thing there, it sounds like. And hopefully they can expand and be accessible to more people. So this is a very short list of some organizations and people that are doing something to combat the issue of food deserts. I know there are a lot more examples out there of people doing cool stuff for the alternative food movement, but I just wanted to talk about those three examples that I found. And I think now I'm going to move into talking a little bit about gardening, give you some gardening info. And this week I wanted to talk about compost. This is a good time for people to start thinking about their compost piles or compost bins, boxes. Since it is almost spring, it's a good time to get everything ready in your garden for the upcoming abundant season of growing. People generally don't think about an abundant garden at this time of year, so a lot of people aren't doing a lot of gardening, but now's a good time to get ready for all the gardening you hopefully will be doing in the summer. One thing you definitely want to have in a productive garden is a compost pile or a compost bin. So one of the purposes of compost is, or one of the purposes of a gardener composting, is to accelerate decomposition, because it's something that nature does naturally, or nature does on its own, you know. Decomposing organic matter in the forest or even in your yard. If you leave organic matter, it eventually rots and turns into compost. But people composting helps that process go faster. So when animal and plant matter is completely broken down, it's converted into a form that allows plant roots to utilize the nutrition. Nutrients such as nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and other minerals are provided to soil by compost. The type and percentage of nutrients found in the soil depends on which organic materials are added. Micronutrients also found in compost are copper, iron, iodine, zinc, manganese, cobalt, boron, and molybdenum. So some of the reasons to compost are it heats up the soil faster and the soil stays warm longer, which is good to extend your growing season and to help little sprouts grow and keep your soil nice and warm for all your veggies that you're going to grow. Compost is a disease suppressor. It also is a pH buffer, which the biochemical structure of compost enables plants to rely less on the soil pH, so you don't have to worry about soil pH when you're gardening if you use a bunch of compost. Composting saves time and money. Compost can improve the soil structure in a way that causes soil to retain more water, which means you have to water less often and use less water. It can suppress weeds and make weeds easier to pull. A big one is the reduction of waste that would otherwise end up in landfills or dumps. This is great. A great reason to compost. Our landfills are getting fuller and fuller, so anything we can keep out of that waste stream is a really good thing. Compost enhances soil that would otherwise have poor crumb structure, so compost really improves soil structure in a good way for your growing vegetables. So there are a few types of compost that you can make in your home garden. One is hot active compost, and this requires a fair amount of work. You will need to collect both brown and green materials. Brown materials are carbon-rich materials, and green materials are nitrogen-rich materials. And then you layer these, and then you'll want to build a nice big tall pile with layers of green and brown, and then you'll want to turn that compost pile with a pitchfork 2 to 3 times a week. So it's a lot of work. If you have a really big pile, you can get a good arm workout. You can get a good workout in your garden by making hot, active compost. So I found a list in Urban Farm magazine that I found really useful of what the brown materials and what the green materials are. Because there might be some question about what's what. So carbon-rich brown materials are dry leaves, aged hay, dryer lint, cardboard egg cartons, newspaper, chipped wood, sawdust, dried grasses, paper towels, shredded documents, oat hay, straw, wood ash, not coal ash, 100% cotton fabrics. And green or nitrogen-rich materials are vegetable trimmings, fruit peels, not too many citrus peels, green leaves, algae or aquarium water, fresh water only, coffee grounds with the filter, tea bags, houseplants, dead flowers, animal manure, herbivorous only, such as rabbit, chicken, horse, goat, etc., alfalfa meal or hay, weeds that that haven't gone to seed, and green prunings from outdoor plants. So, like I said, you make layers of those ingredients and then turn it 2 to 3 times a week, and within a month or two, you'll have some super rich, wonderful, yummy compost that you can add to your garden. Then another type of composting is passive composting, and this is where you just take all your compostable materials, all that stuff I just listed, and throw it in a pile and leave it there. And eventually it turns into compost, and that can take up to a year to compost that way. But it takes basically no work at all. You just let the microbes take over and break it all down, and away you go. You can add that to your garden too. And then there's another type of composting, which is somewhere in between those two. It's warm composting. You start out with the layers of brown and green, and then you'll want to turn the compost about once a week. And you should have finished compost from that in about 3 months. And finally, another type of compost is worm composting or vermiculture. I'm sure everybody's heard of that. by now. That is where worms make the compost. You can purchase or get from a friend red wiggler worms, which are the type of worms that are good for composting, and you want to get a bin. So you can either make a plastic, make a worm bin out of a plastic storage container that you drill holes in, or you can buy, some people call them worm condos. They're stackable worm bins. The worms crawl up through the levels, and that's another way to go. And you want to give them some shredded paper and all your kitchen scraps and other yard waste, and they'll chew through that, and then they produce worm castings, and that is the absolutely best compost you can find for your garden. So I highly, highly recommend having a compost pile or worm bin if you are going to do any kind of gardening, especially food gardening, because enriching your soil with compost is so important for having a healthy, happy garden, a productive garden. And if you would like some help or more information about composting, you can go to the Santa Cruz County's website is compostsantacruzcounty.org, and they have classes you can take on how to compost, and you can purchase at a reduced price some of those stackable worm bins, and I think they also sell other types of compost bins. And that's very low cost, a good way to go. I mean, I think there are other composting classes around, but going to the county is a good thing. And I think that the county actually sells compost if you don't want to make your own. But I probably would not use the county's compost on my vegetable garden because it's hard to tell what they actually make their compost out of. And you want to be sure that your compost is coming from good sources. So that's why it's great to make your own. If you can't make your own, then the next thing I would suggest is purchasing organic compost from a garden center. I would get the bagged, or sometimes you can find it loose, like at Aptos Landscape Supply, they sell it in bulk. I would get the organic compost and amend your soil with that, because compost is great. It's the only way to go, especially if you're an organic gardener. Compost is the stuff. Yay, compost. So the last thing I wanted to talk about is a food recipe. The recipe I'd like to give you all this week is something I make very often, and it's pesto. And a lot of people, when they think of pesto, they think of summer, because pesto is most commonly made out of basil, and basil really only grows in the summer, unless you're growing it in a greenhouse or indoors with a grow light, which, I don't know, I don't tend to grow that way. I wait until the summer comes around and it's nice and warm, and then I plant my basil in my garden. It's a nice thing that I like to wait for summer basil. But anyway, the type of pesto that I make at this time of year is arugula pesto or parsley pesto, because those two things are growing in my garden right now, and they grew all winter. So my pesto includes one of those greens. You could use other greens if you have them, like cilantro actually grows at this time of year. If you have that growing in your garden, you could make a cilantro pesto. Also, I add to that some cheese, like Parmesan is probably one of the best, and some olive oil, and I like to use walnuts because I like the way that tastes in pesto. I think the traditional recipe is with pine nuts, but I find pine nuts to be a little bit expensive, and I prefer walnuts in my pesto, and I have found good walnuts at the farmer's market. I buy them there. And then also a whole bunch of garlic. Well, not too much. You don't want to overdo it with the garlic. But some people say you can never overdo it with the garlic. But I like a few cloves in there. And I grind that all up and put it on some pasta, and it's delish. And then you can also put pesto on a sandwich, maybe a cheese sandwich, on some vegetables. You could put it on rice. It's very versatile. Pesto is a great thing. And it's not only a summer delicacy. You can also have winter pesto if you use winter greens. And if you want to get creative, I'm sure there's some other things you could think of to make pesto out of. I've had sun-dried tomato pesto. I made a sort of a version of sun-dried tomatoes in my oven. I took all my garden, a whole bunch of my garden tomatoes and stuck them in the oven on a really low temperature and let them dry out. And some people pack them in oil, but you could just store them as dried out little tomatoes and then make that into a pesto, perhaps. I haven't tried it, but I've heard of sun-dried tomato pesto. And yeah, that's my recipe for this week. So I didn't get a chance to offer the phone number for listeners to call in with any suggestions or if you'd like to join in the conversation or ask any questions. But if you'd like to call next week, I suppose, or actually I have about 5 minutes left in the show. So if anybody would like to call in and ask a question or offer a suggestion or say anything about any of the topics I've covered today, the phone number is 427-3772. And you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM and freakradio.org. And I'm your host, Wander Fox, and this is Your Homegrown Food. So thank you, everybody, so much for listening. It's been fun, even though it's only a half an hour long. It goes by very fast. And I will see you all next week. And I am on the air with Your Homegrown Food every Wednesday from 11:30 to 12. And I will sign out and say, see you next week. Happy eating and gardening.
Ces poires, tous ces bons fromages, ces épices, goûtez-les, ces fraises, ces bananes et ce chocolat, ces caprices, goûtez-les, au pays mystérieux de Malidor. Quand il y en a plus, il y en a encore.